The business news of the nation, region, and the greater Des Moines Metro made possible through the support of Creamer Law Firm. Business law and estate planning, visit creamerlaw.com. And AARP of Iowa, real possibilities for our community and our citizens, no matter the age, aarp.org.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. We have a return guest in the studio. You'll be able to tell immediately who he is. I want his voice so that I can actually do really great work when I'm doing voiceovers. This is, ladies and gentlemen, attorney Carl Dietz. Carl, welcome back to the NewsHour. Good to have you.
Thank you so much for having me back. And that's an absurd comment about my voice.
Oh, it's a great voice.
You have the best voice in Des Moines.
I know. Well, that's what they say. Okay. But, you know, but you're not doing this on a regular basis. You'd kick me to the curb, man. You got it.
We'll leave that to be academic.
All right. All right. So, Carl, I wanted to visit with you. We talked on the phone a little bit. Tell us a little bit about your practice, and then we're going to get into the weeds on some other things.
My practice, I guess for anyone who didn't listen any of the other times that I was on, I have a transactional practice. So that means that I end up doing a lot of estate planning, business law, trademark, home closings, and then I've fallen into doing some guardianship and conservatorship work. Anything non-adversarial is what I enjoy.
Non-adversarial. You're a smart man.
I like to win ahead of time instead of not being sure what's going to go on. So.
You know that. Somebody asked me one time if I ever considered law, and I said, yeah, you know, I'd really kind of like that. But the Yiddish word is soros. It means troubles. Like, why would I want somebody else's soros when I've got enough of my own? So I get it. All right. Let's talk a little bit about your real estate practice, if we can.
Great.
And what does a real estate attorney do? What part of your business does that encompass?
Practically speaking, there are two different kinds of real estate attorney. So you might have heard of the Wasker Law Firm and places such as that do title opinions, right? I don't do that. That really requires a certain kind of personnel machinery to make money at it. I handle the other parts of it, closing and everything leading up to that. So the majority of my real estate clients, residential real estate clients, already have someone who wants to buy the house. They know someone from their church or a neighbor wants to buy it. So they don't need a realtor necessarily to stage and list the house.
Got it.
They just need someone to help them with all of the documentation and making sure that all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed.
So these are individuals who for sale by owner kind of a thing?
Definitely.
And those are the folks that seek you out because they don't know how to create closing documents and all of that. So are you then representing the seller on those for the most part, or sometimes do you represent the buyer?
I can do either or, in fact, both. It's legal for me to represent both as long as they're aware that they have the option to have separate representation and that I am representing them both.
Got it. When we talk about real estate law, what are some of the common issues that show up in a real estate transaction from the seller or the buyer standpoint that you watch for?
Well, it has a lot to do with the inspections that have to take place and of course, the title abstract. So whenever you're buying a house, the seller typically has the abstract updated. That means the record of everyone who's ever owned the property has to be up to date so that when the buyer collects that document, they can have an opinion done by a title opinion firm as to whether or not the seller has legal ability to sell that piece of property to them, and that there's nothing standing in the way like liens or other
encumbrances.
Other arcane obstacles.
Yeah,
yes.
All right. Encumbrances. I like
yes.
that word. It's a good word. All right, so that's one side of that. And by the way, the whole title opinion and the abstract, what do you recommend that people do when they buy a home and they get the abstract? What do you recommend they do with that?
Well, the abstract is a legal document,
right.
And you're responsible for it as the homeowner. So you need to put it somewhere safe where you can get to it. A bank safety deposit box is good for that, but a firebox in your house works well. What you don't want to have happen is to have it get destroyed in some fashion, because having the title abstract updated is much cheaper than having it redone from the start. So,
and especially if those houses have been around a while. I mean, if you're talking about a home that was built in the 1910s,
sure,
and you have to get that abstract brought up to date,
yeah,
Yeah, that can be a little pricey. What's involved in that, Carl? They go through all the research and they got to go downtown and look at all the tax records or what? How does that work?
Well, it's very modern now. Of course, you can look at most of, not all of those records on the internet through the recorder's website, the county recorder. But, of course, it takes a trained eye to find everything. All of the links in the chain have to be there, so.
I had someone, when they learned that you were coming in to talk about real estate and real estate law, I had two different issues come up. I thought, wow, yeah, I can ask these questions. People are feeding me questions. Oh, Carl's coming in. Ask this question, would you? The first has to do with disclosure relative to a tragic event that happened in a home that was for sale. The seller apparently had there was a family member that killed himself in the home. And apparently it was with a blast of a shotgun or something like that. The buyers knew nothing of that. And so when they went to close on the house, or somebody told them about this, and they ended up saying, I don't think we want to do this after all. Does that happen from time to time?
Of course it does. Of course it does.
What's the responsibility of the seller to disclose?
I hate to give a really lawyery answer here, but the law is kind of spongy, right? Because of the wide variety of things that could have gone wrong there, strange utility lines running under the house, who knows what could be there. But because of that, rather than break out specifics in the law is similar to almost all contract law in America. The seller is supposed to disclose anything that the seller knows that the buyer might reasonably want to know when making a decision about whether or not to buy. However, what the seller knows can't always be proven, and so the seller can keep mum about things and say later that, well, I didn't know that that happened. I wasn't required to disclose
it. Sure. Well, we had another, and there was a second case very similar to this. This is a husband and a wife and family that had taken a look. And by the way, we had this broadcast on, several months ago. And it made quite a splash all over Iowa because apparently this happens from time to time where husband and wife and family found their ideal home and they were going to buy it, had sent some documents up, and this is all going forward. And a neighbor just happened to passively say, hey, oh, by the way, I see that you're buying the drug house. Now, what was interesting about this is the woman who was buying the house along with her husband is a PhD, and he did his dissertation in West Virginia on methamphetamine and methamphetamine utilization. So he knew a little bit about the side effects of methamphetamines. They didn't buy the house, but they had to go through all kinds of, they had to have it tested, and it cost them money to have it tested. And again, it comes back to this disclosure thing. The seller knew, but didn't disclose. Is kind of problematic, I would suspect. Yeah.
I've started to be in practice long enough to start to have isms, Carl isms.
You're going to write a book next year.
One of my law professors had a poster on his wall of chip isms, and I'm like, where did you get all this stuff? It starts to come up. One of the things that I always tell people is that money makes people weird.
Mm.
The single largest purchase that most people make in their lives is a home. And then if you get into a situation where you need or want to sell that home and there's some obstacle to you doing that that you weren't aware of or that didn't exist when you bought it, people will start to take weird risks in order to sell that. And one of the risks that people commonly take is to not disclose something that they know will be an obstacle. Now, I'm not saying anything about the specific case,
right?
But I suppose if I had a meth house and I needed to get rid of it, it might cross my mind to leave that out when I'm listing the property.
You think maybe?
I'm an officer of the court. Of course, I couldn't do that, but it might cross my mind.
Yeah, right. Well, it takes a considerable amount of money to clean those places up and make them habitable, apparently. And is there any recourse when a buyer is in a, not that situation, but a similar situation out there where something's not disclosed, the seller knows about it, the buyer has made a good faith purchase attempt, maybe even signs the documents, and then it's a done deal, and then learns that something horrific has happened in this house that may impact their health and well-being.
That's a large part of the reason that your closing tends to be 45 to 60 days out from the time that you agree to buy the house. You're going to have various inspections done. You hope that anything like that's going to be revealed before you sign the docs. But your best recourse, other than suing, which tends to cost more money than it's worth, sure, in matters where the thing might cost, you know, $2,000 to clean up, it might cost you more to sue over that. What you'd really like to do in almost all contract situations is just go back to the seller and say, look, if it can be cleaned up satisfactorily, we just want you to pay for it, right? And then that's part of the cost that'll come off of what you're paying them. And it's often in their best interest to say, yeah, we're sorry, we tried to slip one past you, we'll pay for it out of the cost if it can be cleaned up satisfactorily. I don't know enough about a meth house to know if you could ever get that out of the walls. But
my bride and I had a very typical or similar experience. It wasn't methamphetamine, but it had to do with Orangeburg tile, which is an interesting little thing. Yeah, this is in West Des Moines, and we had agreed on the purchase of this house, beautiful little home. And we were out walking around one day, and somebody had their entire front lawn ripped up. So we went over and said, well, what are you guys doing? And these plumbers said, oh, we're taking out the Orangeburg tile and replacing it. I said, well, it's Orangeburg tile. And they told me what it was. And apparently it was cardboard that was wrapped in tar, and that was what we used in the 1950s for sewers. go figure that one. But we remembered at that time, a day before we were supposed to close, that the owners of the home said, well, you know, from time to time we have some issues with our sewer, and we have to call Roto-Rooter, yada, 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 to come out and do whatever they have to do to clear the sewer. So because of that, and it was like $1,000 a yard to fix this, I called the city of West Des Moines and said, hey, what's the chances that this particular house at this particular address has Orangeburg tile? And he said, 100%. Yeah. So we didn't do that. So you got to be – it's still buyer beware, so to speak, isn't it?
Isn't everything?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you would see it more than I.
Well, I mean, you just learn to be cautious about those things. You're making a large purchase. And any large purchase, take a very critical look at what you're buying.
Yeah. Real Estate Law with Carl Dietz, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Carl, for doing this. I really do appreciate it. And we'll have links to your office on our website. You've moved, by the way, haven't you?
Yeah, probably since the last time I was here. I'm in West Des Moines. I have a nice office in West Des Moines.
Get out of here.
Please come see me.
I loved your original plan of your business plan.
Well, I didn't undo that.
Oh, you
I still go see people where they are.
Yeah, there you go.
It just depends.
That's kind of neat. Carl Dietz, ladies and gentlemen, and we will have links to his website up on the radio blog. All right, we're going to have to back out of here, find out what happened today on Wall Street. I can tell you it was a... Well, can you say bloodbath after we're talking about houses that are contaminated? I don't know. It was not good and not very pretty. We'll tell you all what happened today and why when we come back on the Business News Hour. Nobody else before you. Never gave me such a beautiful feeling. A woman to touch my soul.